round of applause, saints. Amen. Isn't he worthy to be praised? Amen. Let's just sing that song, Lord, Prepare Me to Be a Sanctuary.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Oh, pure and holy, tried and true, and with thanksgiving, I'll be your living, oh, sanctuary, for you.
Sing it to him again, Lord, prepare me.
Oh, and Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary,
pure and holy,
oh, pure and holy, tried and true. Than gold. Well, Lord, compares to you.
Amen. How many can say with an upraised hand, that's the truth? Amen. Amen. Nothing we desire compares to our Lord. Not more than the riches of this world, nothing else. Just the love of Jesus Christ in our hearts. Amen. Amen. We do have one announcement and a few prayer requests here. First, Cody Castillo's graduation party will be on June 14th from 2 to 7 at the UAW Defiance. It'll be posted in the back there, I believe. Amen. We do have two prayer requests here. First, the Cobb. It says Tanya's mom is in a coma on life support, and they soon will have to pull life support off. They're desiring that the church will pray for a miracle that she will regain consciousness before it is too late. Amen. So keep that in prayer. Also from our brother David Loberger, who's not here tonight, says he is home, not feeling well. He is also having surgery in the morning and desires prayer that everything goes well. Amen. So how many would you say with an upraised hand, Lord, I have a need tonight, amen. Say, Lord, whatever it would be, you know that the request behind that need, amen. And we'll just bow our heads in a word of prayer, amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you, Lord, as humble as you know how tonight, Father, Lord. We just come, O Lord, not just come in informal fashion, not coming to see one another, which those things are good, Father, but we come, O Lord, to see you tonight, Father God. We come to entertain you, Father God. We come, O Lord God, because we come expecting more of you, Father. We know that the Word says that your house is a house of judgment, O God, Lord. We know, God, that you've come, O God, to judge us, but not just because, O God, that we're here as a brazen judgment, but because you have the blood of Jesus Christ. For where the mercy seat is, there is mercy, Father God. Lord, we come on the mercy horn tonight, Lord. We need your mercy. We need your grace, Father, Lord. We know that you've given it to us, God, but we just pray, O God, that you just speak through your word what you'd have need for us tonight, Lord. For we know, Lord, that your people are needy people, Lord. We just pray for these requests that went forth, O Lord, for Tanya's mom, O God, Lord. I don't know what kind of woman she is, but, Lord, we're all sinners saved by grace, Lord. And I just pray, O God, Lord, that if there be anything, O God, Lord, that you would just do, Lord, to bring her back to life, that she could be a witness to, Father God, that she could receive the gospel of Jesus Christ, Father. For, Lord, that's what our true desire is, to see every soul saved, sanctified, and filled with your Spirit, O God. For, Lord, that's what your requirement is in this day and this age, Father. Lord, we just pray, O God, that for her that you just do that for her, O God. We just pray also, God, for Brother David Loberger not here, not feeling well at home, Father. We just pray that you just move upon him right now, Father God. We know that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You change not, O God. Lord, you're a healer, Father, the same as you were in the day of Acts, Father, because this is the day of Acts, O Lord. We just pray, O God, Lord, that you just be with him, O God. Give him complete healing, Father God. Just touch his body, Lord, right now, Father God. We just pray also for the tithes, the offerings, Lord, that are about to go forth, that you would just multiply them for your kingdom, O God, that souls would be saved by them, Father God, that the money would be used for missionary or whatever it would be, Father God, to glorify your kingdom, to bring souls in, Father God. Just pray that you bless every hand that went up, Father, for the requests behind every heart. For, Lord, we need you more than ever before, Father. Lord, we just pray that you have your way in this service, that we can glorify, that we can magnify, that we can give you all the praise that you're worthy of, Father. We love you, Lord. We appreciate you, Lord. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, Lord. Amen. And we'll just sing that song, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, saying you can lean on many things, but one thing we always want to lean on is on the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. I'm leaning, well, I'm leaning.
Oh, Hosanna, Just for a moment here. By the grace of God, it's good to be a Christian tonight. Amen. Good to see the Galusias here tonight. Amen. We've got a little flock tonight. We got some out and some are sick. Some are visiting sick. And by the grace of God, just like the church, even remember, even after service, just keep Sister Tanya and Siriaco in your prayers, as well as I can't remember her mother's name. But as she's in the hospital, they have to pull the plug because of the insurance purposes and those things, and they're not ready for her to die, and they are calling, believing that God can restore consciousness to her. So by the grace of God, just want to remember in prayer, and just not just for the sake of just God doing something, but we want God to change souls. Amen. And if something draws them to you at that point in time, then that would really express something. Amen. Kind of felt earlier like I should sing a song, and I had a song come to my head. And then for some reason, when I opened up my old hymn book, I opened right up to it, and that seemed to be a confirmation to me about that. So we'll sing a song, and then we have Brother Simon ministering this evening for us. And by the grace of God, I'm sure he'll take any extra minutes that I'll give him. So... be a blessing to hear from Brother Simon this evening. And I pray we're all ready for the Word of God. Amen. But I'm going to sing that song. I'm going to sing that song, Farther Along. Amen. I might just start singing this. I don't know what key I'm going to be in. And when I pick that key, I guess that'll be the one. Praise God. Tempted and tried we're off me to
Lord.
I'm about to do. To stand for the reading word. We're going to leave that to that's what the bishop's got the voice and really gifted in the ministry or the music area also. So, I'll praise God. We'll just go into the word and then didn't have a lot of time to prepare. I did my best by the grace of God. We'll just step out by faith and just let God have his way. You all know I'm just more of a teacher than preacher. They say that's a whole other shifting gear from first gear to some of these ministers get up to fifth and sixth. So, absolutely, I'm just here in one and, slow and steady. Absolutely, turtle style. So, let's just turn in the Word of God to Matthew 6. We was up kind of late last night, so about 3 in the morning. Just trying to find the will of the Lord. Just had like 20 rabbit tails rolling, and like underneath the tree or even above the tree, there's branches shooting roots all over, and just trying to find which one to go down. So just kind of went down this one. I'm kind of just choosing this one. Maybe I brought all my notes up from last night, so whatever he wants to, I hope it'll be a blessing. I want to just be edifying by the grace of God. The Lord kind of showed me a little. Well, we'll just read a scripture and we'll go on here. Matthew 6, verse 31. And remember, Bride, we're coming into perilous times. We taught, I believe it was 2 Sunday schools, about how in Genesis 47, how the money will fail, right? Okay, so this is a scripture we have to have in our mind. The economy is soon to collapse. We want to have all these things in line. And so we just want to kind of bring a little refreshing here. Matthew 6, verse 31 says, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or withal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek." Everyone you know that's worldly, the job, workplace, whatever, it's all about material goods. Absolutely, and having fun. That's what Gentiles run for. "For their heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Amen. Kingdom of God, I'd say that's the, make sure you get the Holy Ghost. Absolutely. He says, "and his righteousness." Absolutely. "And all these things shall be added unto you." Absolutely. He said, verse 34, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Now turn to Song of Solomon 1. And then we'll say a word of prayer here, and you can have your seats. Song of Solomon 1, verse 1. The song of songs, which is Solomon's. It's the king's song. Absolutely. He says, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine." Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Lord, and Lord, coming up just about as humble as we can come up, Lord, just, I remember one other time, Lord, I came up this nervous, Lord, and Lord, you just have your perfect will, Lord, tonight, God, Lord, just feel really unprepared like that one time there, Lord, and Lord, just going to depend fully on you, Lord, God, we just love you, Lord. Bless, Lord, the saints for giving their songs to Zion, God, Lord, for worshiping you out of their heart, God, Lord, and Lord, bless our pastor, God, as he leads this flock, God, and Lord, just anoint him for his job, Lord, for his missions there, Lord. And Lord, just bless this little Sunday school. God, we love you so much, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. It's kind of dealing with a little bit longer title, but I'm going to teach a little Sunday school, a little lesson maybe, or we'll try and touch it depending on how God gave me the scriptures. Just want to arrange them the best we can. I guess we'd have a little title. It'd be "Truth and Mercy, and When Righteousness Kisses Peace." Praise God. So, like we saw there in Matthew 6, let's get back to that here. Just a little Sunday school. Up late last night, I see how, our brother Cam here,
been leading the flock for almost 5 years, maybe 5 years or whatever. Oh, sorry. 5 years almost. And he's a full-time pastor. He works a full-time job. Got a lot of respect for that. Cam's let me stand here 3, 4, 5 times, whatever, just trying to test if there's a gift, whatever, however. But as I, every time I get behind here, even for a Sunday school on a Sunday morning, I see the trials, the hardship of finding the mind of God, finding exactly what to preach on, what to teach on. And even in the last, I'll say it like this, even from when it started in my basement, I seen God anoint our pastor here, and he started preaching. And there was a time in my basement sitting there, and there's something clicked where I actually knew it was not my brother anymore in the flesh. I'll say that when I knew that God had fully taken over. And I never seen that click before with my brother, whether it was a special time or whatever. But I'm sure you all understand how that works, where, like my brother said, he says the gift of preaching or the gift of teaching or whatever is to get beside yourself and let God fully take over. And then he steps into the body, and then by his... Then at that time, the mind of God comes down and delivers exactly whatever's on the thoughts, whatever the intents of the heart are of the people. Absolutely. Now, I'm just trying to get to that point to see what lies, but I just see how gifted our brother is. Not trying to exalt a man, but there's a genuine gift of God there. Absolutely. And I want to also bring this to a little apology there. I think it was like 2 Sundays ago, we had the sprints over, whatever, and I was doing a little Sunday school, a little Bible study with Sister Chelsea there. And right at the beginning there, I felt checked, like, and it was kind of like a line for me to do that Bible study, but I felt a check there, and I just want to apologize to where I should have had, I felt checked that I should have had Brother Cam do this Bible study instead of me, okay, a fresh convert, someone coming in, this and that, but I bypassed the check, and I just want to apologize to you that the Lord bless there. You may have, you know, however, God knows, but I want to make that right that, you know, I did feel a check. It should have been, I should have had Cam, he's a shepherd, and I want to, you know. And also, too, if you want a Bible study or whatever, make sure you ask Cam first. If you're lining up something with somebody, ask our pastor first. Absolutely. That's our head. Absolutely. That's right. Amen. Though what I say here, I'll be accounted to your souls, I will not have to answer to you. That man will on Judgment Day. Absolutely. By the grace of God, our brother will be able to present you as a chaste virgin, as a chaste bride to Christ. Absolutely. So, just want to make that apologies. You know, we did our best. We're all learning, growing. In the grace of God, absolutely, in the knowledge of God, absolutely. So, I want to throw that out there. He didn't ask me to do that. In fact, I don't know if he forgot about it, but I just wanted to throw it in there. So, here in Matthew 6, verse 31, he says, "Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink, whether shall we be clothed," right? We're going to be caught in a time, I'll say like this, to where we're going to be left with absolutely nothing. We'll be on, the Bible says what, or our prophet said what, we'll be physically bereft, right? He says, but what he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. You had better make sure you go into this thing with being filled with the Holy Ghost. You had better know that you know that you know. Absolutely, absolutely. And we're dealing with a brother right now. We just had him baptized a couple weeks ago. And he said, "Sai, do I have the Holy Ghost or not?" We had a powerful experience where the Holy Ghost came into the car, took his body totally under control for about 5 minutes. Couldn't move. He couldn't move himself. I was like, the Holy Ghost was raising him, okay? The Holy Ghost took full control of his body. He said, "Sai, do I have the Holy Ghost?" I said, "Brother, I don't know, but may continue on in the faith. Let's do some Bible studies. You want to hear the preaching of the Word? Come to our church, this and that, the true preaching of the Word." He says, but you must know for certain. Absolutely, I believe it. Just like, I'll tell you this, just like that, I think it was that, was it Simeon or... I believe it was Simeon, or who was Zacharias, or whatever. One of them, the Bible said he had a revelation that he would not die until he saw the baby being born. Absolutely. So in other words, if you have the Holy Ghost, I believe the Holy Ghost will give you a revelation that you'll not to see death until you see Christ. Absolutely. Why did he take those three men up there? He said what? He says, "Ye shall not die till you see the Son of Man coming in His glory." Absolutely right. Peter, James, and John. Absolutely right. And then... later on, for even a greater mystery, I'll say like that, in John 21, he's asking Peter these serious questions, three questions, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" Right? Peter said, "Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yes, I do." Absolutely. Then he said, "What? If you love me, follow me." Right? Absolutely. So what did, and then Peter just sitting there or just standing there, whatever, someone else actually gets up and starts following, right? And Christ says, and Peter says, what shall this man do? He says, what is it to thee? He says, if he tarry till I come. Absolutely. Showing what? That John was a type of the bride that Christ would actually pronounce that he would not see death. Absolutely. And we are living in this day. Absolutely. Praise God. Absolutely. So seek God. Make sure you got the Holy Ghost. If you know you got the Holy Ghost, you've passed from death unto life. Absolutely, right? Absolutely. And if you're one of the blessed and chosen and the elect lady, you'll not even see death. Absolutely. But I believe a key to that is wait. If you look at what did the prophet bring out of Psalms 21 or 27? He brought the rapture message, right? What is the very end of that rapture message? Let's go there. Or it's like that scripture in Psalms 27. And this actually doesn't have to do with my little Sunday school. Well, it kind of does. Psalms 27, verse 4, it says, one thing have I desired, Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, what's that? Jacob's trouble. What's that for us? The squeeze, right? Brother Bram said, he said what? He says, this would be the rapture time right here, hidden in His pavilion. Absolutely. Now he goes through all that whole thing, but now look at verse 13. How tough is it going to be? He says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, right? He says, wait on the Lord. Do you believe that you're a bride? Do you believe that you'll not see death? I don't care when death, the Bible says in, I believe it's 2 Samuel 22, Psalms 18. He says, what? The death will encompass you, right? The Christ had the first shaking, the first ministry, right? The bride will have the second ministry, the second shaking, right? Do you think the only difference between Christ and the bride is that He took death upon us? He literally, if you actually think about it, Him taking death was specifically for the Laodicean bride. In a greater sense, I'll say it like that. Sure, all those that died from Peter and James and John, all of them, they all had to die in the flesh, yet they'll be raised in the rapture, right? Absolutely. He says, but there had to be a people that would escape death. Absolutely. So Christ had to actually take death, whatever, right there. And at that time, at the rapture, that's when death will be swallowed up. Absolutely. Amen. He says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. No matter what you see come up, no matter what takes place, the economy will collapse, right? He says, be of good courage. If you starve to death, starve to death. Absolutely. Do not give in to an Esau doctrine. Absolutely. I don't care how hungry you are. Absolutely. He says, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. He says, wait, I say, on the Lord. Absolutely. Praise God. Now that's not on my notes. Anyhow, the topic is what? Truth and mercy, and when righteousness kisses peace. Praise God. Absolutely. Now we want to kind of dive into this. Let's go to Psalms 25. You'll see how this kind of all ties together. I had probably 10 hours maybe of study to get this thing in. I was up late. Just nothing was, you know, it was dovetailing, but I just didn't know. So we're just going to continue on here. Psalms 25, verse 10. He says, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep His covenant and His testimonies. Absolutely. So the paths of the Lord are what? He says, mercy and truth. Absolutely. Our pastor preached a tremendous message on mercy. He said, what did Webster say? He said, there's not another word like it. I'm not trying to preach your sermon, brother. But that thing was so powerful. You understand the whole thing that I'll tell you this. When we fell, the only thing, there's only one thing that would bring us back. It wasn't the death of Him, because that had to start somewhere else. Absolutely. Before Christ came down, or the Holy Ghost, the Father came down and planted that little seed and that egg together, right? And Mary, right? He said, before that took place, before it even came out of the womb, before He died and everything, there had to be mercy on us. Absolutely. Absolutely. Before, the Bible says, the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. In other words, God already had mercy then. He knew He was setting us up. Absolutely, for a fall. He was setting us up so He could deliver us. Absolutely. That's the bottom line truth. It's a fixed deal. Absolutely. You have no worries. Absolutely. Receive the Holy Ghost. You are in peace. In other words, it starts with mercy. He said, what's the title? Truth, mercy, and when righteousness kisses peace. It starts with mercy and ends with kissing peace. All right? Amen. In other words, mercy will produce peace in your life. Absolutely. All right. Amen. Praise God. Now, let's continue on here. Psalms 57. Just want to run through some scriptures. I was trained, Titus or Timothy talked about how he was telling Timothy or Titus, whoever, he says, go find young men, faithfully train them in the Word of God so they can go out and do the exact same. And we were all taught by Brother Craig and Brother Brooks, absolutely. And this is how I was trained, just go verse by verse, word and word, line upon line, here they're a little, precept upon precept, all these things, right? We want to prove everything through the Scripture, absolutely. Amen. Psalms 57, now, let's go to verse 1. He says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusted in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. I will cry unto God, most high, and most high unto God that performeth all things. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach in him that would swallow me up." Absolute. Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. Absolutely, absolutely. So what would be swallowed up by? What a lie. We'd be swallowed up by a deception, right? Someone going out teaching false doctrine, or someone just, or being getting caught up by the world or whatever, the cares of this life. Absolutely. He says, but he would send forth his mercy and his truth. Absolutely. Praise God. Amen. Now, mercy is obviously, there's nothing like it. I can't even explain how our brother taught it the other day, but it was just so powerful to me. I've been, there's sometimes, I think about this often, where how, was it Elijah, or went under the, he ran from the voice of Jezebel, whatever, got scared and hid out in a cave, right? Then God fed him, by ravens and whatever and all these things, and he went 40 days on just that food, right? He said, I wonder what he ate. I mean, wonder what was packed in that food he was given, right? Absolutely. And it's almost like today in our day, when something's preached over the pulpit and it's so good to you and it's just something that's just fresh and you just want to eat it over and over. I'm still thinking about sermons, camps preached probably a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, God showing me little nuggets, absolutely, that he shows me personally. And nothing can take, no one can take it from me. I know what it is, and I'll just work during the day, and I'll think on these little nuggets, right? And it'll last me for years, absolutely. It never goes old, absolutely. Amen. That's right. It just continues on, absolutely. Now, Psalm 61. Just dial in here. Psalm 61, verse 7. "He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him." Absolutely. So these are his preservation comes through what? Mercy. He has to have mercy on you, and the mercy is all, everything is what? Love. Divine love, the agape love. Absolutely. If he did not love us, he would not have showed his mercy on us. Absolutely. But because he loved us, because of what? We came out of him, right? Now why can't God love serpents? Because they were not the original spoken seed, right? Absolutely. That was actually a hybrid thing that took place. That was not in the original creation. I'll say this. Well, you say Eve wasn't. Yeah, but she came out of Adam, who was. Absolutely. But when you mix the serpent, who was what? An animal. And then Eve, what? It produced something totally new. So totally something. That's why you see something new, it's not always good. Absolutely. That's right. Absolutely. Amen. It's like a... half them fruits out there have their combination names and all kinds of stuff. It shows it was not in the beginning, but it's just a hybrid. Absolutely. Now, let's go to Psalms 86. Just a little Bible study here. Psalms 86, verse 15, he says, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion," amen, "and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and in truth." Absolutely. We can go on and on. All these... in fact, a lot of these verses, you'll find what he says, mercy and truth. And it takes these two to produce righteousness and peace. In other words, these two will cause righteousness and peace to kiss. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's just the truth. Absolutely. That's why I read Psalms 1 and 2. Absolutely. What? This whole Bible is what? A love story. Absolutely. Like a man and a wife. Like Big Dave and his wife. Absolutely. We just went there. We've seen it. Absolutely. This is their story. Absolutely. Praise God. Amen. You know it is. Psalms 86. I'm sorry. Let's go to Psalms 100. Absolutely. Psalms 100, verse 1. He says, "Make joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." Right? Absolutely. "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." Absolutely. So what about the dark ages? What, His truth lasted even through that? Absolutely. What about the dark ages in the Old Testament? His truth lasted all the way through that? Absolutely. When Babylon sprung up and all these scrolls were lost, the Word was preserved all the way through that. Absolutely. His truth is what He says. It'll be here. He says, "Heavens and earth will pass away, but My Word or My truth will never pass away." Absolutely. That's right. God is in full control. Absolutely. Praise God. Amen. Now, let's go to, and let me show you the difference between Psalms. Let's go to Psalms 57. It actually displays the, which is kind of greater. I'll say it like that. I just like this comparison. How? Amen. Psalms 57, verse 8. He says, "Wake up, My glory." Amen. He says, "Wake, awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise Thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto Thee among the nations. For Thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and Thy truth unto the clouds." Absolutely. So His mercy strung all the way from heaven. Absolutely. And His truth goes to the clouds. It shows that His mercy is far greater than truth. Absolutely, right? Because without His mercy, you'd have no truth. Absolutely. He would have left us in a fallen state. Absolutely. He would have. Absolutely. But because He is full of mercy and truth, He displayed His mercy and brought and restored the truth back to us. Absolutely. Praise God. Absolutely. Just a little thought there. Now, let's go to... I have my phone. I better get on this to make sure I don't want to hold you guys too long here. All right. Okay. Let's go to Proverbs 14. Just trying to build a little foundation here. Proverbs 14, verse 22. He says, "Do they err that devise evil?" Absolutely. He says, but mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good." Absolutely. That's right. Absolutely. In other words, you can show exactly who the good people are in the world. I'll say it just that simply, that plain. If you see anyone that stands for the truth, anyone that displays mercy on the job site, anyone that displays mercy in a mistake or a fault or whatever, he says, that's those who devise good. Absolutely. Amen. Absolutely. It shows they have a good and clean heart. Absolutely. By the grace of God. Now, Proverbs 16, verse 6. He says, "By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged." Oh, my. Amen. Praise God. Absolutely. You can't have one without the other. Amen. That's right. To complete the whole thing. That's right. What are true worshipers? In spirit and in truth. What if you just had truth? The letter killeth. Absolutely, right? Absolutely. The letter is dead. It's a dead letter. Absolutely. Like I was telling a brother, and even found it on the internet, there's like 96%, 98% of people in the world baptized by the Holy Ghost. And then it's probably 1% or even less baptized the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's looking at it and he's like, "Man, we're a minority." I was like, absolutely. But that's the truth. That's the truth. Absolutely. It shows that God had mercy on his life and brought him truth. Absolutely. And I said, hang to it, son. Hang to it. Absolutely. Now, let's continue on here. Now, and here's kind of what I was kind of dealing with there in the beginning. I was talking about how, and I always thought I was kind of messed up or there was something wrong with me until I heard a quote the other day. A prophet said, he says it was in 1955, a hidden man, he was saying, he says, and this is where, this is where it comes down to laying in the presence of the Lord, just getting up, and actually deals with, let's go to Jeremiah 33. I've been praying. I was at the Andersons one day, and I walked behind this car, and this was on their bumper sticker, or their little license plate, I'm sorry, their license plate. And I looked it up, and I said, this might be the most powerful scripture. My goodness. Jeremiah 33:3, he says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Absolutely. And every time I pray now, I always put my hand on this scripture right here, or Lord, I said, this is what I want, because if there's anything, any mystery, any extra encouragement, anything that would strengthen me for the meat for our day in due season, our murder, if there's anything we need to eat, if there's anything secret, right, if there's anything that will get me, help me get to this rapture or make me stronger in this upcoming battle, this time of trouble, I said, reveal it to me, Lord. Absolutely. I want everything. So I have a thought. If a man come up and give me a question, I got an answer for him on everything. If I stand before the council and I go and don't think about what to say and God give it to me, I want to bring it right then. Absolutely. If he reveals it right then, I want to be able to bring it to him. Absolutely. And show him and be a witness of Christ. Absolutely. For our day. Absolutely. So usually when I've been doing Sunday schools and on Sunday morning, I would be up late on Saturday night. And I'd be up to 2:30 in the morning every time before a Sunday morning Sunday school. And I was like, man, Lord, why am I built like that? I'll try and study during the day. I can't get up in the morning. God knows that's the truth. Absolutely. Not a morning eagle. I'm a night eagle. Absolutely. So here I am at 2 o'clock, 3:30, just, you know, I'm not good on lack of sleep. Absolutely. But at around 2 o'clock, 2:30 is when something would usually strike and pop out. And then I'd run it for about a half an hour, an hour, and go to sleep. So I had the scriptures, right? And I was like, man, Lord, why am I built like this? I know some brothers that can go and wake up at 7, 6 in the morning, whatever, go and study and pray and fast, and man, they're dialed in the whole day and getting all, and I'm not built like that one bit. Absolutely. It's this flesh, man, the Smith genes or whatever it is. Absolutely. Smith blood or something. Can't hold the whatever. So here I am, and I was listening to the sermon this week, or maybe it was last week, whatever. And the prophet talked. He says, you know, when the dew comes down onto ground, he said, that's not necessarily when the sun rises. He said, that's not during the noonday when the heat of the sun's on it, or even at the nighttime, right, when it's turning dusk. He says, but that dew gets there when the wee early in the morning, absolutely, wee hours in the morning, absolutely, right? And I said, man. And then he said, that's when the time that God will come and actually reveal when everything's at peace. So if you want to have a thought from God, if you want to get close to God, if you want to pray, and our pastor has called me many times and told me how he had actually, you know, prayed till 1:30 in the morning or this and that, an hour and a half or whatever. And I'm like, man, and I'm, you know, our pastor's bringing nuggets and masterpieces for months and months and years running. Absolutely. I mean, I can't brag enough on it, on the gift. So here I am, and I'm thinking, man, Lord, now I understand what God's doing for me. I'm not a morning person, but if I can just get down there and just settle down. Now, let's turn to Song of Solomon, and I'll show you this. Song of Solomon. Amen. And he also called it, he says, early in the morning when you get up, he says, that's where you go into adoption land. He even used that terminology. He says, adoption land. Absolutely. He says, you want to know, if you have a question in your heart, if you want something to God to give you, something fresh, some fresh word of God, he said, do it in the morning. He says, and it'll come like, not like a heavy rain, not like a latter rain. He says, but it'll come like the dew on the grass. Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what? That dew will sustain herbs, and it'll sustain grass and tree. Days and days in between a rain. Amen. That's right. Absolutely. Where am I here? Song of Solomon. Let me get to myself. Where can you find it? Song of Solomon, verse 5. He says, chapter 5. Song of Solomon 5, verse 1. He says, I am coming to my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my ur and my spice. I've eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I've drunken my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink. Yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. Now look at this. Here's the bride. What? She says, I sleep. She's what? It's at nighttime, right? He says, but my heart waketh. Absolutely. Now who should be your heart's Yeah, absolutely. Your lover should be your heart. Absolutely. He says, it is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew and my locks is with the drops of the night. Absolutely. Another time, how many of us have actually been sleeping and God would wake us up, right, and cause us to pray and do all these things, right, and get and or to read us to read the word or to listen to sermon late at night. God is actually trying to give you something right here. Absolutely. But look at verse 3. He says, I have put off my coat. What? The robe of salvation. She's getting lazy. He says, how shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? She doesn't want to get out of bed. She doesn't want to push through. And what? Because her lover's right there. Jesus Christ is right there calling you what? To the closet. Absolutely. He says, My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels removed for him. He says, and eventually what? She says, I rose up to open, but my open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet smelling myrrh, until the handles locked, and I opened to my love, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. In other words, when Christ tells you to get up, you get up. When he tells you to come to that closet and pray at 2, 3 in the morning, you better do it. Because if you wait a little bit too long, you're going to miss your blessing. Absolutely. Praise God. Now let's go to Isaiah 42. We know that something took place in this day dealing with mercy and truth. We know truth had been lost right from the dark ages, right? And God is slowly, progressively bringing his truth back right to our day, right? Revealing all the mysteries, right? Isaiah 42, verse 9. He says, behold, the former things are come to pass. He says, new things do I declare before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Absolutely. So in other words, these things that are come upon the earth, these new things that are about ready to take place, what? The greater works, absolutely. Not as far as many, right, or more, but he said what? Greater works, absolutely. He tells you, he's going to tell you these new things, whatever, going to bring these things, right? Yeah, absolutely. And he says, I tell them, he said, they shall spring forth, and I tell you of them. Absolutely. What a good God. Shall I hide anything from Abraham? Absolutely not. Amen. Now, Isaiah 43, verse 18, he says, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of the old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, ye shall not know it. I will even make a way in the wilderness and the rivers in the desert. Absolutely, that's right. So here he's going to bring not exactly something new, but something in here and make it new. Absolutely. 13 years ago, I never heard of baptism in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. I had no idea there was only just one God and one person. Was that new to me? Absolutely, but it was of the former. It was of the old things. Absolutely. I was taught right out of this Bible. Absolutely. Right out of this word, I'll say it like that. Absolutely. Now, let's go to Isaiah 45. He says, I will give, verse 3, he says, I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by name, am the God of Israel. Absolutely. He's going to show you everything. And if you actually continue on in this, verse 5, he says, I am the Lord, there is none else, there is no God beside me. Verse 6, he says, and there is none beside me, I'm the Lord thy God. He's hitting Godhead, absolutely. He's showing you that this secret right here, he said, will be revealed in that day. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Now, Isaiah 48, verse 1, he says, hear ye this, O house of Jacob, which are called by the name of Israel, and are come forth out of the water of Judah, which swear by the name of the Lord, and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth nor in righteousness, but call themselves of the holy city, and stay themselves upon the God of Israel. The Lord of hosts is his name. He says, I have declared the former things from the beginning, and they went forth out of my mouth. He says, I showed them and did them suddenly, and they came to pass. What is it? He says, what was the former rain bringing the prophet out suddenly in 1947, just a Baptist pastor, right? He says, all of a sudden the angel of the Lord met him, and then all of a sudden everything started rolling and this and that, and what? The word came forth, and God brought what? Malachi 4 and 5 to pass. Absolutely, absolutely. Now, let me show you something here. Let's go to... I'm going to hold that one. Okay. Sorry. Now, verse 4. He says, because thou knew that thou art obstinate, and their neck is an iron. And we'll continue on here. Verse 5, he says, I have even from the beginning declared it unto you. Before it came to pass, I showed it thee. Where? In the Scripture. Lest thou shouldest say, mine idol hath done them, and my graven image, and my molten image have commanded them. Thou hast said, see all this, and will not ye declare it? I have showed thee new things from this time, even hidden things that thou knewest not. Absolutely. They are created now and not from the beginning, even before the day thou heardest them not, lest thou shouldest say, behold, I knew them. Absolutely. Yea, thou heardest not. Yea, from that time thine ear was not opened, for I knew that thou wouldest deal treacherously and was called a transgressor from the womb. Absolutely. Verse 10, he says, behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee. He says, I've chosen thee with this furnace of affliction. Absolutely. Not with silver necessarily, because what? We're tried in the fire with gold, right? Absolutely. As gold. Absolutely. He says, and in the furnace of affliction. Not a furnace of fire like the three Hebrew brothers, right? He says, but an affliction. You have to fight daily. Mind battles, right? Absolutely. Absolutely. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to throw this down for Brother Paul. Isaiah 48:12. He says, hearken unto me, O Jacob, O Israel, and my called. He says, I am the first, and I am also the last. Absolutely. Amen. That was a... Amen. Praise God. Now, let's continue on here. Now, we know... let's see here. Let's go to Romans 4. Now, we kind of dealt with truth a little bit. We dealt with mercy a little bit there. Romans 4 here. Not trying to keep you too long. Romans 4, verse... 1. What shall we say then? That Abraham our father was as pertaining to the flesh hath found. If Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Absolutely. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justified the unjustly, his faith is counted for righteous. Okay, so anyhow, Abraham what? He was not given... Did Abraham have any righteousness at that time? Absolutely not. His sin was what? Covered by the blood of bulls and goats, right? So he had his own righteousness. I'll say that within himself. Absolutely. But his faith was his righteousness. Not the faith of God, because he did not have the Holy Ghost, but whatever measure of faith God gave him, that was his righteousness, because he believed the word of God. He believed what God said, and that was encountered or imputed to him as righteousness, okay? So that was his own personal righteousness, absolutely. Now, let's go to Psalms 78. I'm sorry, Psalms 72. Psalms 72. Verse 1, he says, give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness, and thy poor with judgment. Absolutely. It shows that they are to be judged, right? They do not have God's righteousness, therefore they are judged. He says, the mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people, he shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the mowed grass, as showers that water the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish. Absolutely. The abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. Absolutely. So here we see in the Old Testament that they had their righteousness, and that we would have our righteousness, which is what? Christ is our righteousness. Absolutely. Now, let's continue on here. Ezekiel 14 here. Just an interesting, this is a really interesting scripture here, just kind of different. If I can find it here. Ezekiel 14. Let's start at verse 11. Ezekiel 14, verse 11. That the house of Israel may go no more astray from me, neither be polluted any more with all the transgressions, but they may be my people, and I may be their God, saith the Lord God. Verse 12. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out my own hand upon it, and will break the staff and the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. Absolutely. And this is our day right here. He says, because what? The law is no more. There is absolutely no conviction about any sin. They don't even know what sin is. Absolutely. They have no knowledge of sin. Absolutely. It's totally transgressed the Gentiles' bowl of, or whatever, the jar or whatever of iniquity is just about full. Right now, look at this. Verse 14. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in this day, he says, they should deliver it. We're in it. They should deliver it, but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. In other words, if they were here, they themselves would be the only ones to be saved. Because by their own righteousness. Absolutely. That's right. Now, verse 15. If I cause noisome beasts to pass through the land, they shall spoil it so that it be desolate, and that no man may pass through because of the beasts. Though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. Absolutely. So here, these three men wouldn't even be able to deliver their own families. Absolutely. They would not have enough faith for their families. Absolutely. Because remember, their faith was accounted as righteousness. They wouldn't even have enough faith to believe for their loved ones. Absolutely. These three men, these greats. And what? They're all brought in the New Testament. Remember the patience of Job. What do you think? What was Job's controversy? He lost everything. He had to wait on God. Absolutely. What is our controversy coming up? We're going to lose everything. We're going to have to wait on God. Absolutely. That's right. Till He deliver us. Absolutely. What was Daniel? He had what? He could not bow to the image. Absolutely. And he refused to do it, right? And he was thrown in the prison. Absolutely. But he wouldn't do it. Absolutely. Now, then there was what? Noah, which is our day. Absolutely. But he did not hear the prophet Isaiah. He did not make the rapture, but had to go through the tribulation. Absolutely. Now, but let's go to Acts 11. Acts 11. Amen. But in our day, verse 12, Acts 11, verse 12. And the Spirit made me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we went into the man's house, and he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said to him, Send men to Joppa, and call for Simon Peter, whose surname is Peter, or Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. Absolutely. See, Daniel, Noah, Job would not be able to do what we do in this day. Absolutely. We are given more faith. Absolutely. We have what? The faith of Jesus Christ. Though I don't see my mama here, though I don't see my daddy here, though I don't see my other brother here, absolutely. I believe by faith, because of His righteousness, that they're going to be here. Absolutely. Praise God. Amen. Now, man, I feel like I'm holding you along here. Okay. Whoa. All right. Now, we know that in Romans 1, the Bible said that actually in Isaiah 56, 1, it said it prophesied that salvation would be revealed, okay? And we know that in Romans 1, he said salvation has been revealed, absolutely. And what is that? Jesus Christ, absolutely. In other words, righteousness had been revealed at that time. Now, let's go to Romans 3. Not going to be long, I don't think, here. Hopefully this won't be. We'll see how it goes. Romans 3. Just want to hit a couple things. Romans 3 and verse 21. He says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ." Absolutely right. So he says, "For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Absolutely. "Whom God has sent to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God." Absolutely. So here it shows that what? Jesus, we are depending fully on Jesus Christ's righteousness. Absolutely. We're trusting that man was sinless, that man did die and have all the sin put on him, and that he was holy and pure, and that if he was the righteousness of God, that what? It would be counted back to on us. Absolutely. But we have to put our faith in that sacrifice, in that man. Absolutely. Now, let's go to Romans 10. Romans 10, verse 3. He says, "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Absolutely. So what? In this day, we're not trusting on how close we can live the Word, on how pure we can think thoughts and all that. Though that is good, our righteousness is what? Filthy rags. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's right. The brother that looks like he's walking perfect needs God's righteousness just as much as we do. Absolutely. Praise God. That's right on the Word. Absolutely. Now, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. So Job and them, they had their own righteousness. He says, "For he that hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Absolutely. So what is it? Now it's not our righteousness, but we are actually we have become what? The righteousness of Jesus Christ on us. Absolutely. The righteousness. Now we are what? The righteousness of God. Absolutely. Now. Now let's go to Ephesians 4. Verse 24. He says, "And that ye may put on the new man," which we know is what? The baptism of the Holy Ghost. He says, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Absolutely. Showing that you have received the Holy Ghost, you are what? Truly have received what? True holiness, and you are now the righteousness of God. Just want to pound that in there. Now, let's see here. Let's go to, and I don't know. Okay. Let's go to Isaiah 34. Isaiah 32. Isaiah 32, verse 15. He says, "Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, the wilderness will be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field will be counted for a forest. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field." Amen. "And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness quietness and assurance forever." Absolutely. So mercy brought forth what? Truth. And then when these met, it produced what? Righteousness. Absolutely. And now the fruit of righteousness, what? Is peace. Absolutely. That's exactly how. That's exactly the plan of God. Absolutely. Now, praise God. Isaiah 48. Just real simple study. Isaiah 48. Verse 17. "Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teaches thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Absolutely. Oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandments, which is what? The truth, which was given by what? Mercy. Then had they peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Absolutely. Showed how what? Mercy and truth are together, and righteousness and peace are together in the Scripture. Absolutely. Okay. Isaiah 62. I know it's real simple. Just a little study. Isaiah 62, verse 1. He says, "For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until righteous thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth." Absolutely. Amen. Praise God. Showing that what we're going to have, what when you receive the Holy Ghost, you have peace forevermore. But remember, there's a greater peace coming, an inner peace, what? Battling this flesh. That thing is coming soon. Absolutely. Amen. Now, let me get to the whole, I guess. Let's go to Psalms 85. Psalms 85. Psalms 85. Now, let's start at verse 4. Absolutely. He says, "Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger towards us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever?" Mercy, God. All of my failures, all my everything. "Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations?" Absolutely. We're just striving to do our best. We're trusting His grace. Absolutely. And His mercy. "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" He says what? "Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, and He will speak peace unto His people and His saints." Absolutely. "But let them not turn again to folly." Don't let them backslide. Don't let them fall away. Absolutely. He says, verse 9, "Surely His salvation is nigh them that fear Him, that glory may dwell in our land." Absolutely. Verse 10, "Mercy and truth are met together." So this mercy and truth actually has to meet together first, right? He says, "And righteousness and peace have kissed each other." Absolutely. And if we be the righteousness of God, right? And the Bible says that Jesus Christ is our peace, right? He's the King of peace. Absolutely. That at this time, what? Now look at this. He says, verse 11, "Truth shall spring out of the earth," right? Go to Revelation 13. Out of what place did it get restored? Verse 11. He says, "And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth. Truth shall spring forth out of the earth." Absolutely. 1492, right? 1776, right? And then it comes to 1909, right? 1947. Out of this country. Absolutely. This earth right here is actually a country. It's the United States of America. Absolutely. He says, "And truth shall spring out of the earth," right? Absolutely. "And righteousness shall look down from heaven." So this is an order of operations. I'll say like this. God had to have mercy on us first. And by His mercy, what? We were lost, right? He had to send His truth, right? To get us back, and these met. Absolutely. He says, and then what? Once truth and mercy met, which is what? Jesus Christ came down, right? Truth came in, or the Word came in flesh. Absolutely. He says, "Now he became sin that we become the righteousness of God." He says, "And through that, what? That we would receive the Holy Ghost, have peace." He says, "And what? At that time, what is the marriage takes place? They kiss each other." Absolutely. "Truth shall spring forth out of the earth," right? And it's this day, right? The truth had been restored in this here our nation, right? Absolutely. He says, "And our land shall yield her increase." Absolutely. I heard Brother Brooks say one time, he says, "I believe America will have the cream out of the crop come out of her." Absolutely. He says, righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his steps. Absolutely. Now, Psalms 2. I'm sorry, yeah, Psalms 2. Just a real simple Bible study. Verse 1. He says, why do heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, he says, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords. Absolutely. And that's what they're doing today. What? Against the anointed ones. Not a false anointed, but the anointed ones. Absolutely. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in sore pleasure. Yet have I set my king upon his whole, on my holy mountain Zion, hill Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and he goes on and on. Verse 10, he says, be wise now therefore, ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Verse 12, he says what? He says, kiss the son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are they who put their trust in him. Absolutely. So who are we supposed to marry? Jesus Christ. Absolutely. The one person and the one one Godhead. Absolutely. Now, amen. Psalms, Song of Solomon 1. Just about done here. Just got these last two scriptures. Brother Cam, if you want to prepare yourself for however you end this thing by the grace of God. Song of Solomon 1, verse 1. He says, the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. He says, let him kiss me with his kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Absolutely. Praise God. Song of Solomon 8, verse 1. He says, oh, that thou wert as my brother that sucked the breast of my mother. When I should find thee without, I would have kissed thee. Yea, I should not be despised. Absolutely. So it's all about what? Falling in love with Christ. I like how it says there. Let me turn back to that in Psalms 85. Like that there, because it shows. He says, truth shall spring out of the earth, and the righteousness shall look down from heaven. Absolutely. The prophet always talked about how the bride would look down from the balconies of heaven. Absolutely. And look over the things that take place there. Absolutely. Praise God. So that's my little study there. Really felt uncomfortable. By the grace of God, not like a regular Sunday morning, but anyhow, by the grace of God, just stepped up to the plate, just going by faith. Absolutely. So just want to hope was a blessing, just a little Sunday school there, by the grace of God. So I'm not sure what song, anybody have a song they want to sing or whatever? I'm not good at these ending things or even the starting things. I'm just a Bible study guy. Just all nerved up, so by the grace of God. We love the Lord.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen, brother.
Every way. A round of applause. Ooh. Amen.
God bless you.
If it wasn't for the mercy of the good Lord, I wouldn't be here today. If it wasn't for the mercy of the good Lord, I wouldn't be here today. If he had not died on Calvary, if he had not heard my feeble plea, if he had not come to see about me, I wouldn't be here today. No, I wouldn't be
blessed by the Lord tonight, amen. Just thank God for the message there, amen. Let's just give God a round of applause, amen. Amen. Is he your peace, amen? Amen.
He is my peace, who has broken down.